This should not be this hard. Oh my goodness. Just stop talking.
What's up, guys? Welcome to a special midweek bonus episode of the No Gimmicks Podcast. I'm Brady Leonard. Josiah is off today. He's actually at work today, right now. But with me in studio is our new producer, Jake Richards. Jake is going to be with us doing some bonus content, do some special stuff, making it possible to do more than one show a week. So you're going to be hearing a lot from him here in the coming weeks and months. Jake, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Yeah, you're going to be hearing from me so much.
So much.
Too much.
It's tremendous.
Bigly.
Believe me. So we wanted to do a special episode today. Kind of a reaction episode to the Alabama Senate race yesterday.
What a fiasco.
What a shit show. I'm not really surprised that Roy Moore lost. I wouldn't have been surprised if he won either. I really didn't know it was going to happen. It's kind of one of those situations similar to, last November, rather, where we put a couple terrible candidates up against each other and see what happens. So Doug Jones, the Democrat, defeated Roy Moore by 1.3 points, the first Democrat to win a Senate seat in Alabama in over 20 years. That alone, I suppose is pretty surprising.
Well, it didn't surprise Trump. I mean, he knew
it
the whole
not.
Time.
Nostradamus Trump predicted these things. Apparently, I want to read that Trump tweet.
Oh, yeah. So he originally endorsed Luther Strange, and one of his tweets was post-election here. He says, the reason I endorsed Luther Strange and his numbers went up mightily is that I said Roy Moore will not be able to win the general election. And I was right. Roy worked hard, but the deck was stacked against him.
The deck was stacked with teenage girls. That's what the deck was. I really don't think the deck is stacked with anything else other than Roy Moore's flaws. Yeah. I think Mr. Moore, Judge Moore, has nobody to blame but himself, obviously. So everybody's moving on, including the president, obviously, except for Roy Moore himself, which I don't know when this episode will come out, but it's about 3:40 Wednesday afternoon, and Roy Moore has not conceded yet, which is crazy. He's down by over 20,000 votes. A recount would cost something like $1.5 million, something like that, which Moore would have to pay for himself. He's insisting on a recount for some reason. Let's play a clip of Roy Moore delusionally hoping that somehow he can erase the results of yesterday's election.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I really want to thank you for coming tonight and realize when the vote is this close that it's not over. And we still got to go by the rules about this recount provision, and the Secretary of State has explained it to us, and we're expecting that the press will go up there and talk to them to find out what the situation
is. I'm old enough to remember last year when Hillary Clinton did not want to concede. Even though everybody in the country knew that the election was over. What the hell is Roy Moore thinking?
Who knows? But you were saying it's going to cost like $1.5 million. He's got $600,000 on hand, and he's like, the press is going up to speak with the Secretary of State, because if I walked into his office, he would be like...
Go home.
Go home, Roy.
You're drunk, Roy.
It's time to concede. But this isn't a new kind of... situation with candidates who just believe they're unstoppable.
Yeah, and before we dig into that a little deeper, Jake has worked on several campaigns, both national and statewide campaigns and local campaigns, and has a lot more experience dealing with candidates than I do. So, this kind of delusion is not uncommon for candidates generally.
No, not even a little bit. You'll have people, they live in a universe where every person they interact with is kissing their rear ends and putting them up on a pedestal, and they rarely hear from the critics. They're told not to read the critics. And so when it comes election night and they lose, they're just like, impossible. Over 9,000? It's not happening.
Yeah, I think it was 20,000. I think it was like 20,000 votes.
Oh, yeah, no, that was a DBZ reference, but...
Oh, gotcha, okay. That went way over my head.
You're old.
I'm way too old for that. I'm far too
old. Not old enough to remember Dragon Ball Z.
No. So President Trump did congratulate Doug Jones in a classic Trump way. We want to read that real quick, and then we'll get to the CNN headline responding to the Trump tweet.
Oh, yeah. No, Trump, you know, being the gentleman he is, congratulations to Doug Jones on a hard-fought victory. The write-in votes played a very big factor, but a win is a win. The people of Alabama are great, and Republicans will have another shot at the seat in a short period of time. It never ends.
It never ends. I love the there's just a last phrase to end every Trump tweet. Sad.
But what a jerk for
congratulating his opponent. And the CNN headline is what again? Just read the headline.
Trump tries to minimize a stinging defeat. That's CNN. They need to concede.
I'm waiting on CNN's concession speech. It should happen any day now.
Just admit it.
I don't think that, look, both sides are trying to make a big deal over this. I honestly don't think this election in Alabama is that big of a deal. I think any other Republican would have, literally any Republican in Alabama other than Roy Moore would have beaten Doug Jones. Luther Strange would have beaten him by 30 points. Mo Brooks would have beaten him by 30 points. Oh, side note, by the way, Mo Brooks, congressman from, I believe, the Huntsville, Alabama area, said in a speech to the House floor today that he'd been diagnosed with aggressive prostate cancer and he's going to be undergoing a surgery. So definitely pray for Mo Brooks and his family. That's scary stuff. He actually said that, you know, losing the Senate primary probably saved his life because he wouldn't have had time to, you know, get himself checked out and stuff. So, you know, scary stuff there. But anyway, either one of those guys, if they were to win the Republican primary, would have wiped the floor with Doug Jones. On the flip side, you know, with Roy Moore's allegations of sexual assault or, you know, dating teenage girls, whatever, if the Democrats would have nominated a reasonable candidate, maybe like a pro-life Democrat, they would have blown out Roy Moore by 20 points. But Doug Jones is a pro-abortion extremist. He's not just pro-choice. You know, there's definitely a case to be made. I mean, I would disagree, but, you know, there's reasonable people that are pro-choice. Doug Jones is a proponent of partial birth abortions. I mean, we're talking full term / partial birth abortions. You know, like, even if he wasn't pro-life, if he was just more moderate on his stance on abortion, he would have beat Moore by 10 points, not 1.3 points.
It's unfathomable. You're like down south and people, you know, are making sweet tea on their front porch swings and having shotgun weddings. And if you get knocked up, you're having that baby. Why on earth would the Democrats be like, okay, let's nominate Hillary Clinton? Like, it's the same story. Yeah. There's a reason that the Republicans have a stronghold, which some on the left will say we're losing as of now. Which totally not the case, but
yeah, Doug Jones is a very far left guy, you know, single payer healthcare, partial birth abortions, all this stuff. It's like, I mean, we're doing it again as Americans, and our friends down in Alabama just did it once again. We're nominating the most extreme people on both sides, and I really don't understand why.
Well, because they're trying to follow the Trump trend where I'm an outsider, we're going to win,
believe me,
and it's like, you know, Trump is just absolutely, he's the only one that can be like that. It's because he's always been like that.
Yeah.
You can't just come out of the cusp and be like, you know, like, we're going to slaughter our opponents. I could go out and shoot somebody right now.
In the middle of Sixth Avenue. Believe me.
That you can't do that. It won't work.
There's only one Trump. That doesn't work. I mean, with Trump, everybody, he had what, like a 97% name recognition nationally.
He's in every rap song in 2010.
Yeah, you're never going to get that again. And then everybody knew about all of his transgressions before. I mean, when he was a private citizen, everybody knew he had cheated on his wives. Everybody knew he was, you know, this, you know, sketchy guy at times and this and that. And everybody already knew that. The same with Barack Obama, to his credit, when he ran in 2008. You know, he wrote a book immediately saying, yeah, you know, I used to smoke a bunch of weed. I did cocaine in college, and she just like put everything out there so nobody could hit him with it. You know, he's like, yeah, this is all my mistake, so, you know, come at me, bro. And everybody's like, oh, well, you know, he was in college, it's a long time ago, who cares? But, you know, it doesn't work if allegations come out 2 weeks before an election. It's not the same thing.
You're not gonna move past that unless you have just an insanely aggressive media tactic, which Roy Moore did not. He was like a soft pass kind of guy. Yep. He wasn't like, this is insanity. Like, I can't, but like, he was just like, eh, that didn't happen.
Roy Moore, yeah, it was like a, I remember it differently, or, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a couple of the allegations seemed fake. You know, the Gloria Allred connection really muddied the water. But a lot of these accusations seemed very credible to me. And we said on the podcast last week that I wouldn't have voted for either one of these gentlemen. I would have written in somebody or just stayed home, drank a beer instead. You know, I don't think either one of these guys met my standards for getting my vote. But, you know, I don't know, man. I think both sides are making a really big deal about the repercussions of this election. And I honestly don't think you can really read too much into this. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, a reporter tracked him down when he was in the Capitol building last night after the election results came in. And he's a Republican senator from Wisconsin, Ron Johnson. This kind of nails it on the head. And this is basically all I'm willing to take from this election.
What message did the election send last night?
Alabama's didn't want somebody who dated 14-year-old girls.
I mean, is this a lesson for Steve Bannon?
I hope he pays attention that you need good candidates to win Senate races, yeah.
Yep.
This isn't like Pandora's box, people. There is a very obvious reason that Brady was saying, the far as left candidate as you can be wins in a red state.
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe the Democrats are right with their wishful thinking that this is going to just turn the deep South blue. But I'd say Occam's razor in this situation, it's probably the child molestation. That's about it. That's why Roy Moore lost. It really has nothing to do with literally anything else. Pretty much just the dating teenagers.
Are you sure it wasn't the amount of money raised?
Nope. Nope. Both sides had money.
What about the door-to-door efforts?
No, it's probably not the road work they were putting in, you know, not the field team. Probably wasn't. I mean, Steve Bannon likes to think he's a very, very important person in politics. I really don't think he had anything to do with this. I mean, he jumped in really late in the primary and endorsed Roy Moore. I don't think that really. I think Roy Moore was going to win the primary no matter what because before the child molestation stuff, he was a very beloved figure in Alabama. So I don't think Bannon had an effect. I don't think the GOP pulling out of his campaign and then coming back the last couple of days had really any effect. I think it's just like Senator Johnson said, that, you know, the people in Alabama did not want somebody who dated 14-year-old girls. That's fair. I don't want a senator that dated 14-year-old girls either.
Well, and it's even like as conservatives, we want, you know, and I'm more of like a conservatarian or, you know, it's hard to get behind somebody where people are forgetting that conservatives have a moral standard.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yes, I want the GOP to have a majority, but not on behalf of sacrificing moral value.
Right.
Trump's the exception because I mean the left plays dirty, man. And so when all those allegations come out and then just disappear against Trump, it's like a different story. Like that's a presidential election.
Right. And like voters have to look at allegations with a sober mind and make their own decision. And people did with Trump. I mean, they looked at the, you know, because Trump had a few women, you know, one of them was like a beauty pageant girl from Miss Universe or something. And her only allegation is like Trump walked in the room and looked at the girls.
Wow.
Which I mean, like he owned the Miss Universe pageant. So he walked in the room and looked at the girls that were like your job is to like get in a bathing suit and like parade around in front of dudes that are looking at you. So like if that's the worst thing Trump did, like ooh.
Whoa, a guy being oh, a guy.
The guy that owns Miss Universe went around and, you know, checked in with the contestants. Like
let's be real,
like the worst thing in the world. But
Brady, if you owned Miss Universe, be real. Like you don't be a creep about it, but I mean, I'd be looking.
I mean, like, that's the point of the pageant. I mean, I don't really see the big deal here. But, like, the point is the voters made up their mind whether or not those accusations were credible. And the voters in Alabama made up their mind about Roy Moore, and they decided that these accusations, by and large, were credible. And I would agree. The girl with the woman, she's 60 now or something, but 50-something at least, with the yearbook, and she admitted to forging part of it, and it was kind of weird. Gloria Allred, who's a leftist hack attorney, was involved, and that's like, okay, so that one might not be real, but I don't know. There was a lot of, like, law of average, you know, if you're accused by that many people, and most of them did seem very credible. He didn't seem like somebody that should hold office. What do you think about this? I honestly think this is a good thing for the Republican Party.
Definitely.
If Roy Moore would have won, and this, I think Jeff Sessions was reelected in 2014, so the seat's up in 2020. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Republicans really did not need the Democrats beating them over the head with Roy Moore for 3 years.
No, on one hand, devil's advocate, it would have been a good distraction from Trump. But on the other hand, in light of all these Me Too kind of deals, you know, where we're sitting here looking at Al Franken, and it's a good thing. It shows that we're not a party that's going to just ignore allegations that have legitimate claims.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the hardest hit yesterday during the Alabama election was Minnesota Senator Al Franken, because now he actually has to resign.
Absolutely.
Because he said, we talked about this on the podcast earlier this week, Al Franken announced his pseudo resignation, but he didn't give a time frame for that. And we talked about it a few days ago. I said, and I still believe, if Roy Moore would have won, Al Franken, there's no way in hell he was going to resign. He'd say, well, you know, I'm not any worse than Roy Moore, so I'm sticking around. Now he's like, shit.
Yeah, now he's going to try to pull the what shit. Difference does it make now?
Yeah. I mean, so he's got to go. Hopefully, you know, carries on to Bob Menendez over in New Jersey as well. But yeah, Franken has to resign now. There's no excuse for him staying in the Senate now that Roy Moore, you know, his plans were canceled.
Maybe he's just going to say, well, I'm waiting to see if Roy's going for the recount. If he's going for the recount, I'm waiting. Let's just start a clock. How many days has it been since Al Franken announces he's going to resign?
I'll believe it when I see it. I really hope nobody, I'm tired of recounts. I mean, the recount in the 2016 election was just ridiculous with what's her name, the Green Party.
Oh my gosh, Jill Stein.
Jill Stein. Oh God.
Really?
I mean, the electoral college vote was what? It was 300 and something to not a lot. So I mean,
it was
you can do flip three states or something. Doesn't make any sense.
It was a win like the world likes which the world has never seen before. I don't know where her head was.
And I really hope somebody, hey, Roy Moore's friends, talk to your boy. Everybody needs friends. If your friend's doing something stupid, be like, man, it's over, brother. It's over. You got to stop. Got to knock it off. You got to knock it off. This guy needs friends. No, don't do it. Don't spend your supporters and your own money, if he has the money, on a recount. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's asinine, fruitless. Stop it. Go away. The Republicans are run somebody much better, which would be anyone. Any Republican. Look, if they put up a random state senator from Alabama, they would have trucked Doug Jones. Literally anyone in Alabama, even if they didn't have great name recognition, anybody that could run a decent campaign would have wiped the floor with partial birth abortion Doug Jones.
Okay. But he's got friends that are like those friends that tell you, like, hey, you're a really good singer, you should try out for American Idol. It's like,
those are not good friends, guys.
They're like, hey, we want to watch our friend do something stupid so we can replay it on YouTube.
Yeah, everybody needs good friends, man. You got to sit your buddy down and be like, hey, Roy, you're 70. Let's go ride horses. Go talk about how much you hate gay people or whatever you do. Yeah, real quick. Roy Moore was a bad candidate before the dating teenager stuff. He said that Muslims shouldn't be able to serve in Congress, which of course is unconstitutional. The Constitution clearly says there can be no religious test for serving in Congress or any public office. He said that, you know, gay sex should be illegal, which is...
Wow.
I mean, this is like a 1930s guy. Like, this is not...
Listen,
like,
to me, Sonny. If you don't want to have gay sex in my town, you're going to have some trouble.
This is not a normal... Like, this guy... And that's why I said it's good for Republicans, because this guy probably would have just made Republicans look bad for the next 3 years.
It's a blessing, man.
I think it is. I think it's a blessing in disguise. As long as they get tax reform done, because Bob Corker from Tennessee already said... And so, well, I guess they could try to get it done before Doug Jones is sworn in. Do you know when he'd be sworn in? Will it be January?
It'd be January 18, I think. I think that Doug is really going to have to dot his I's and cross his T's, man, because Republicans have given him a chance to be a cross the aisle kind of guy. If he doesn't show up to do that, he's done. I mean, he's done in 2020.
No, he's done. I mean, he's screwed either way.
Well, yeah, but I'd say less so if he doesn't play the game.
No, I mean, if he doesn't take a huge turn to the center,
yeah.
He only has a 2% chance of getting reelected in 2020 anyway,
yeah.
from a 70% Republican state like Alabama. But unless he takes a serious turn towards the middle, he has a 0% chance. And then also, if he does that, Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader, is notorious for threatening people in his caucus. He won't let, like, pro-life people into his caucus. I mean, he's threatened Joe Manchin and Heidi Heitkamp and some of the moderate Democrats to pull funding in their reelection campaigns if they support Trump on anything. So, I mean, Doug Jones, I mean, he gets to be a senator for 3 years, but I think that's just about it.
Yeah, well, and it's really crucial right now because we've got Gorsuch in the Supreme Court. We've got things like the heartbeat bill.
Yeah, and, you know, so Luther Strange will still be the senator from Alabama until January. He's got another month. So that gives the GOP one more month to get tax reform done. Wednesday, I should say. I don't know when this will come out. But the House and the Senate did approve their committee vote on moving tax reform forward. So I think both the House and the Senate are going to vote on the actual bill that would go to Trump's desk on Monday or Tuesday of next week, which would be awesome.
Super good.
I mean, I'm pretty stoked about the tax cuts I'd be receiving. And also, I mean, with somebody like Doug Jones, let's say they don't get it done until January, like a Democrat like Doug Jones, a state like Alabama, similar to Ohio, is one of the states that would benefit the most from demographic-wise and income level-wise from this tax bill. So, like, if he just follows the Chuck Schumer, you know, line and opposes everything Trump wants, I don't know how he could go to citizens of Alabama and be like, yeah, I voted against 95% of you guys getting tax cuts. It's a pretty uncomfortable situation. See, a lot of people think that this is like some kind of turning point. It reminds me a lot of former Senator Scott Brown's 2010 election. And that's after Ted Kennedy died. And Scott Brown, a Republican, won his seat, which was the first Republican to occupy a Senate seat in Massachusetts in, I don't know, 20 or 30 years, something like that, a similar situation. And people are like, oh, the Republicans are turning Massachusetts red. Well, no. Massachusetts is one of the bluest states in the Union. And 2 years later in 2012, he got beat by Elizabeth Warren. So, you know, I think this is one of those outlier elections. I don't really think it means much nationally. I think it just has everything to do with Roy Moore, has everything to do with him dating a 14-year-old girl. And, you know, Doug Jones, I mean, I was a big fan of Scott Brown, but I think Doug Jones is going to go the Scott Brown career path. And in 2020, when he's up for reelection, I mean, they could run a mop and bucket against him. I think the mop and bucket's going to win.
Well, as long as the mop and bucket doesn't have any like dustpans that come out of the blue and they mop me good.
Unless the mop and bucket was used to clean up the remains of babies that were aborted at 9 months or something like that. Well, I think that's all we got this week. We just want to do a quick reaction to the big news last night. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Please follow us on Twitter at NoGimmicksPod. If you haven't already, you're an idiot. And I don't know what the hell's the matter with you. But if you haven't already, please subscribe on iTunes or SoundCloud. If you're not an Apple user, please give us a 5-star rating and good review. And yeah, we love you. Tweet at us if we got something wrong, got something right. Twitter at NoGimmicksPod. We will talk to you on Tuesday. For Jake, I'm Brady. We love you. No gimmicks.